hundreds of filling the seats. All one of you. Good morning, Pat. All right, how are you doing? Good. Juan, how are you doing, sir? Good to see you this morning, Juan. Let's begin with a word of prayer and the purpose of the prayer. Test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, third member of the Godhead, the one who turns our whatever we're doing into worship of God. So let's go into prayer. We praise you, Heavenly Father, and we thank you so much for your word that reveals to us your plan and lets us know what you would have us to do and to be. Pray your Spirit will open our eyes this morning, things you would have us to see, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We need to be in prayer for Eve, and she continues her recovery. We need to be in prayer for Jim Langston, and let's be in prayer for each other. We had a nice dinner last night. I thought it was good. I thought the food was really good. Did you fix the food? Oh, wow. It was... Huh? Oh, well, it was very good. I really enjoyed it. Had a wonderful conversation with a man, Greg Matthews. And I'm hoping I can get him to come and speak at our church. He fought with a 8-foot bear, over 600 pounds, in Alaska, and lived. And he, of course, all the way through, gives God the credit. But just the story of his encounter with this bear, and then all that happened afterward, is just an interesting story of the glory of God and how God wants you here. You're going to be here. And I'm hoping that I can get Greg to come and share with us his story. It just really was a good story, and all I heard was just a little bit. He gave me even a shorter than Reader's Digest rendition. He's writing a book on the whole thing, and so that should be out in June, he said, he's hoping. And so hopefully we can get him to come and speak and some Sunday morning here. And if that works out, I'll let you know. And so we've got a couple more important things coming up. I'm hoping I get him in here. And then we have Memorial Weekend. And then we're going to have a special day in June. But I'll tell you about that a little later. But right now, let's go into our study. And we're studying spiritual love, which is the new commandment, to love one another as I've loved you. And we noted last week how love is known in a person. Love is not some abstract concept. Love is known in a person. And for our study, it is known in the person of Christ. We see the cost of his love. And that we've learned, love's going to cost you. And that's why a lot of people in today's world where it's all about me don't want to marry, maybe shack up with somebody, and that's all it is. They can call it whatever they want, but that's what it is. And because they don't want for their love to cost them. And then we saw the suffering of his love, and often love will suffer. And love a husband, wife, love a parent for child, it's going to cost. You've got to sacrifice a lot. If you're going to have a child, you're going to sacrifice a lot and you get married. And then we noted the directions of his love. and the magnitude of his love, that he would die for us, the impact or the effect of his love, and then we know the kindness of his love. And so this morning, let's open the Word of God to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. Now, John 14, our main study is going to begin at verse 21. But let's pick up what's going on here and begin reading in verse 16. This is the night before, a few hours before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He's had the communion, actually the last Passover, with his disciples, and he's talking with them now. Judas has left the room, and empowered by Satan, and to betray Christ. And while all that's going on another scene, we're dealing with what's going on in the upper room. And Christ is talking to the disciples. And so in verse 16, I will ask the Father, future tense. He will ask the Father at his ascension. He will go up in Acts chapter 1, and that's the ascension of Christ, and the ascension of Christ, and then he will be seated at the right hand of God the Father, at which time he will look and address the Father. I will ask him, and he, God the Father, will give you another paraclete, and that is, I don't like the word helper. The reason I don't like helper is because that implies that we do our part. If I say, help me push my car, and I stand over on the side of the road, you're going to look at me and say, well, wait a minute, you get over here and you help. Push too. Well, that's the idea of helping. You do your part, I'll do my part, all that. So I don't like that. Christ is a transliteration, and we have no problem with that. So paraclete is another transliteration, and that's the Holy Spirit, another paraclete, that he may be with you forever. You will never lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit once you receive him at faith in Christ. I just am so amazed by people who insist you can lose your salvation. What kind of God do they have? He's going to take away the 34 things that he's given you, and then if you decide, well, I believe in Jesus Christ, he gives them back, and then 5 years later you decide you don't, he takes them away. What kind of deal is that? That's the way a lot of people handle marriage. But that's not our God. When he gives it, it's forever. Verse 17. That, and I always love those markers. I will ask the Father to give you a paraclete, and it's another, is another like me. Member of the Godhead. Deity. And so it's another member of the Godhead. And that is the Spirit of Truth, a title of the Holy Spirit. A lot of titles. This is one of the titles. He's an eternal Spirit, Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world is unbelievers. And it's just amazing how people get so upset when you talk about the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. Pastor Jeffries of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, receiving a lot of pressure because he said there's a wall around heaven. And there is. Only those who believe in Christ are going to be there. I'm sorry. It's like the picture of the virgins. And the 10 virgins that didn't have all, they're not going to be allowed in. It's that simple. You don't have Christ, you're not in. So there's going to be a separation that the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, so as to believe that's Jesus Christ. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now, verse 19, After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you live also. And therefore the great M, because he lives. Verse 20, in that day, you will know that I am in the Father, in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. In what day? The day that you receive the indwelling of the Spirit, the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Now, in that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Verse 21. This is our study now. Verse 21 begins our study. Verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them. Now, what are his commandments? This is very important. What are his commandments? Many people try to include the Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all the commands they can compile in Scripture. Here a little, there a little. In context, there are only two commandments. Faith and love. Those are the two commandments. Faith and love. Now in 1 John, he brings the two, a plural, but in a few verses later, he brings it to the singular. This is my commandment. Still faith and love. And every time I'm in the car, and I hit the red light, and there's a red light, and then there's the instrument, we're at a red light and a red light. Now I've got two red arrows pointing that you can turn when you will be able to turn. There are two there, but it's only one command. You can turn right here. So that's the idea that we have here. The two really become one. Now, so you got to know them. Faith in the Holy Spirit, after faith in Christ, and love that comes from the Holy Spirit. And then it says, and keeps them. How do you keep faith? Faith in the Holy Spirit. How do you keep love? Faith in the Spirit, and he pours in this love. If you do not obey the commandments to love, for an example, one another, the new commandment, then to love as he loved, that's what the first study of 1 John is about. 1 John is about love. And he doesn't talk that much about faith. He talks about love. So, and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Now, many believers desire to love Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, many think they do love Jesus Christ. But you have to know him in order to love him. And you have to love him in the power of the Spirit. That's the only love acceptable to God. It's a love in the power of the Spirit. Amen. Male could tell a woman, I love you. All he wants is her body. That's not what she wants. I love you, meaning I know what you are. I know your soul. I know your sin nature. I know these things about you. And I love you. That's the love you're looking for. Well, just as we have our criterion of the love we want, so does God. And the only love that is acceptable to God is a love given to us by God the Holy Spirit. So, he it is who loves me. We love Jesus Christ the same way we love one another in the power of the Holy Spirit. You understand that? The loving of Christ is not something different than the love of one another. It's all a love given to us from God the Holy Spirit. So he's just given them a new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Our love toward Christ is the same love we have toward one another. It's from the power of God the Holy Spirit. Now, he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. Now, this brings a lot of theology, theological problem. I thought God loved everybody, for God so loved the world. Doesn't God love everybody? God is love. So doesn't He love everyone? See? Doesn't He love every believer? Doesn't He love every unbeliever? So we have to face the fact that there's a special concept going on here. Do you desire to be loved by God the Father? Do you desire to benefit from the love of God the Father? See, people, again, I'll use the example. For all eternity, in the lake of fire, there are going to be a lot of unbelievers. In the lake of fire for all eternity, every one of them will be loved by God the Father for all eternity. They will not be benefited by that love. They will not be benefited. The ideal about love is being benefited by that love. This is Mother's Day. There are a multitude through history of sons and daughters who were not loved, did not benefit from their mother's love. The mother loved them dearly, but they didn't benefit from it. They rebelled against it. One of my favorite old songs, don't take your guns to town, son. She loved him. Don't take your guns to town. And he took his guns to town, he was shot and died, and as he was dying, he remembered those words, don't take your guns to town. He didn't benefit. You want to benefit from love. A husband was to benefit from the love of his wife. The wife was to benefit from the love of her husband. That's the whole idea. It's not just a matter of being loved. It's a matter of benefiting from that love that's crucial. You want to benefit from the love. And so we want to benefit from his love. So he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. How are we going to be loved by God the Father? First of all, we do not work for the love of the Father. I could add, since this is Mother's Day, God help the child whose mother makes them work for that love. And I know some mothers like that. They withhold love if the child is bad. They withhold, they make them earn it. If you're good, I love you. That's a shame. You don't have to earn the love of God the Father. You don't have to earn benefiting from the love of God the Father. I'm sorry that so many believers carry shame and guilt and are convinced by other believers that they're unworthy. Their sin in the past, whatever they may have done, morally, immorally, all of that type of thing, that they're unworthy for God to love them. And that's a shame. The shame is not their sins. The shame is that they have that shame and think they're unworthy for the love of God. So here, to be loved is to experience the impact of His love. That's what is being talked about here. To experience the impact of divine love. You want to experience the impact of divine love? Live by faith. Love one another as I have loved you. Then you will benefit from the love of the Father. Same. So it's by that faith to benefit from it. Note the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. Remember, love is a relationship word. Our relationship with God is first of all based on faith. Relationship with humans, love. Relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is love after faith. Faith brings us together. Love then is produced in that relationship. So, you want to experience a relationship with the love of God the Father. It's a relationship. As it noted here by the relationship between God the Father and His Son. And if you love and obey His Son, this motivates God the Father to love you, which means that His love will have great impact in your life, great impact in your thinking. In a few moments, we're going to be studying walking in wisdom. Walking in wisdom is understanding what we're studying right here, understanding how I can benefit from the love of God the Father. He loves you, but are you benefited by it? That becomes a great issue. And so, this is what we're talking about. All are loved by the Father, but few experience it. Example in the Bible, the prodigal son. Perfect example. Loved dearly by his father. Loved dearly, but not controlled. He wanted to leave. The father gave him his inheritance and sent him on his way. And the son takes off and lives a horrible life. Gets to a horrible place in life and starts thinking about it. My dad has a lot of servants. Maybe I can just go back and be a servant. His dad sees him, which means his dad was looking for him. Looking for him. And the moment he saw him, he rejoiced. And he killed the fatted lamb. Put a cloak on him. Fixed him up. Had a party for him. See? But while he was out in the boonies, he wasn't benefited by the love. The love was there. Love was there any day at any time. But he chose not to be benefited by the love. Same thing with God the Father, people. He loves us. But you've got to be benefited by that love to experience it. So this is a very important study in regard to spiritual love. Then it says, and I will love him. Now look at the next phrase. And will disclose myself to him. Here is what is crucial in loving Jesus Christ as Jesus Christ loved. We must know Him, and only way to know Jesus Christ, the only way we can know Him is when He reveals Himself to us. See? Which He will do when we walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. A horrible, base, cruel example. A prostitute will give you her body. But she'll not reveal herself to you. You're not going to know her. Not going to know her at all. When you fall in love with somebody to marry, what you're doing here is, I want you to reveal yourself to me. I want to know you. Unlike anyone else knows you. I want to know you, not just physical. I want to know your soul. And it is so unfortunate that many men try to hide who and what they are. Many ladies do the same thing. Under the idea, if they knew about me, they wouldn't love me. You missed the whole point. The reason I love you, know more about you. This goes all you are to me. I want to know all you are. It's very difficult for us to disclose things about ourselves to people. And there should be only one person on earth that you really disclose yourself to. Now you don't disclose yourself to your mom. That woman knows everything anyway. So to heck with her. I'm talking about where you choose to disclose, make yourself known. And we do that in a relationship. Intimate, personal relationship. And that's what's being talked about here. I will come to you, Christ said, I will come to you. We will have an intimate, close relationship. And I will disclose myself to you. I will let you know about me on an intimate, personal basis. And this gives the idea of a good marriage, of a good relationship in life, to understand this phrase. And I will disclose myself to you. If you truly love me and are loved of my Father, I'll disclose myself to you. So if you desire to know Jesus Christ, to be known by Jesus Christ, You've got to love in the power of the Holy Spirit, be benefited by the love of God the Father, and then you are good. Then you can be benefited by the love of Christ. Jesus Christ reveals himself through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. You've got to study this whole context together. He's going to send the Holy Spirit. And part of the function of the sending of that Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit gives you the power to love Him and gives you the power to have Christ reveal Himself to you, the power for Jesus Christ to come and dwell inside of you along with Him. There are so many dynamics, personal, intimate dynamics in the true Christian life. And having an intimate relationship with Christ is one of them. But it's only possible by the presence of the Holy Spirit. The way to look at this is, in 1 Corinthians, know you not that your body is a temple? So the Holy Spirit makes our body a temple. And when you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, that means the temple is ready for the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to come in fellowship. When you're out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit, Christ doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to be there. He wants to be there when you love Him. He wants to be there when you want to know Him. He wants to be there when you want to have an intimate relationship with Him. And people, this is just, there's nothing better. I started my personal intimate relationship with Jesus Christ in my adolescence. He was my friend through my teenage years. I'm sure He got upset with me a lot, but He always was there. He was always there. It's a wonderful, phenomenal relationship to have an intimacy with God, the Holy Spirit, who will give you a relationship with Jesus Christ. See? So, our goal is to imitate Christ and follow Him and be transformed into His image and have Christ formed in you and therefore take on an intimate, personal relationship with Christ so that when someone sees how you love, they'll know how Christ loves. How can you be like that? Well, since you ask, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. See? That's what I can answer you. Let me tell you about my Savior. Because it's His love that you're seeing, not my love. My love is human. It's personal. It's arrogance. It's pride. It's controlling. It's jealous. It's anger. All those horrible things. That's my love. But I want you to see the love of Christ in me. That love that you're seeing is the love of Jesus Christ. To be loved by Jesus Christ, so many people desire. They desire to be loved by Him. And to God, someone will desire to be loved by God the Father, by Jesus Christ. And they want to do it by their own standards. I'll work real hard. I'll be real good. Now that means if I slip and fall, then you don't love me anymore. So I got to walk the straight and narrow. See, they got to earn His love. And it becomes a horrible mixture. You must know how Christ loved you. You must know how to love Christ. You are ready for relationships in life. Once you learn these things, best thing a parent can teach a child is spiritual love. Before they ever fall in love, outside of teenage love, before they fall in love to the point of getting married, is to know about spiritual love. What it looks like, how it acts. These things we're studying, that it's personal, it's a person. It sacrifices, it suffers. All the things that we're in the midst of studying. Now, and I will love Him. You want Christ to love you? Here's how I do it. And will disclose myself to Him. The word to disclose, the Greek word means to reveal, to make known, to make clear. One major problem that so many people have with love is making themselves known to someone else. See? We build walls around us. And generally, the longer you're single, the stronger the walls, the thicker the walls, the higher the walls. Because that's what you've learned to do over the years. Why do people build walls? They're afraid that if the other person knows them, knows these things about them, they will not love them. If she or he knows about me, they won't love me. And I want them to love me. And they do this with God. People, God knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And He loves. A mother knows us and loves. So we have to understand we don't want to be afraid to reveal ourselves. And the problem in the human realm outside of Christ is that we have a sin nature. And a sin nature highly influences our character, our personality, and decisions we make. The ideal is the longer you live in the power of the Spirit, the less the flesh nature influences the decisions you make. And the more you will make decisions based on the wisdom of the Word of God. So this is what we're in the midst of looking at. See? But they're afraid that this person knows them, they will not love them. And for a lot of people, that is true. But not with God. Do you hear what I said? With a lot of people, it becomes true. They know you, I don't love you. And that's why it takes time before you ever get married. I feel sorry for people who meet, fall in love, and marry all in a matter of a very short time. Now, you don't need to take as long as I took, but it takes some time to really get to know them. Then find out if you want to reveal yourself to them and if you like what's being revealed about them. You've got to know these things. But not with God. God knows all about us. See? This goes back to what we emphasized last week. Love is known in a person. Love is known in a person. We do not immediately love Christ. When you become a believer, you do not immediately love Christ. Excuse me just a moment. Let me see where my joy is. Here it is. Oh, yes, I feel it coming. All right. So, love is known in a person. We do not immediately love Christ the moment we believe in Him as Savior. But as we grow in the power of the Spirit, as we grow in the knowledge of the Word of God, we learn more and more about Christ. And the more we know about Christ, the more we love. And the more we love, the more we are loved. The more He reveals Himself. That's what's beautiful. See? There you are. Thank you. Now, in our society that we live in today, it does not surprise me that so many believers do not know Jesus Christ. And the reason for that is few pastors teach the Word of God, where you can know Him. You've got to know Him from Genesis to Revelation. You've got to know Him in the Old Testament, the New Testament, in time, at the end times, or tribulation, the millennium, eternity future. You've got to know all about Him. And few pastors teach about Jesus Christ, and therefore few people know Him personally and intimately. They may talk about Him, and they love Him from the power of the flesh, but not from the Holy Spirit, and not from knowledge of who and what He is. See? So, we have to know Him in order to love Him personally, and to be loved by Him personally. See? And love is so difficult for so many people today. That's why so many over half the marriages and Christian marriages end in divorce. That's the statistic. And that's a shame. That is a crying shame. But I'm not surprised the way people do not know about love. Now, Jesus Christ tells us in John 14, He will reveal Himself to us through His Spirit. That's the context. If we had a paragraph Bible, that would be in the paragraph of the Holy Spirit. I will reveal myself. And He's going to reveal Himself through it by means of the Holy Spirit. Why? That we can know Him and love Him. We see how important this principle is in our study of the Song of Solomon. It's been some time since we studied the Song of Solomon. At the pastor's conference, it was really interesting. Did you get to... one of the men, one of the speakers, it was so great. He went through the whole book of the Song of Solomon, and I mean, he pulled no punches. He talked about exactly what it's being said about the sexual romance and love and the imagery that's going on there. It was really beautiful. But in chapter 1, the Shulamite woman pleads with the shepherd lover to make himself conspicuous to her. That's beautiful. Now the Hebrew word there means to reveal things about himself unknown. Thank you. Unknown. Okay. I'm okay. Thank you. I'm okay. You put it right back there. Right. Thank you. Just leave it there. The Hebrew word means to reveal things about himself unknown to her so that she could love him all the more. If you love someone and the more you know about them, the more you love them. You love that about them. I'm still, after 10 years of marriage, I'm learning things about my wife's. She was a little girl, her mother, all these, and everything I learn, I love. It lets me know more and more about her. When you love someone, this is what you want to know, all that you can. I called up my friend John Hintz. He was in Houston yesterday, and I said, he went through Fort Stockton, and I said, I gave you 5 places in Fort Stockton to see, and you didn't see one of them. I have only one place in Houston that you need to see, and that's John H. Reagan Senior High School. You can drive by there and stop and meditate. And he didn't do that either. But when you love someone, these are the things that are important. Who and what they were. Who and what they are. Things about them. So this is what is being talked about by the Shulamite woman. She wants to know things she doesn't know about him. What it's like to be a shepherd, his alertness as a shepherd, his responsibilities as a shepherd, she'll learn about him. See? And so, not only about learning about the person, but what you're doing is magnifying or increasing your love capacity for them. And to make yourself conspicuous, to reveal yourself, to make yourself known to another person. First, to know that if you do reveal yourself, they will continue to love. That is fundamental. If you continue to reveal yourself, will they continue to love? And if you find out not, you'll stop revealing yourself. You're not going to reveal yourself. God has designed marriage where on planet Earth, every person has one person. Take all the billion people on Earth. One person that loves you and that you love. With no strings attached. And the more you learn about them, the more you love them. And that's what marriage is in God's perspective. See? We have studied many points on communication from Scripture, like verbal abuse, and how what you say can hurt others. And this is true of spiritual love. Job, how long will you torment my soul? To his three friends. How long will you torment my soul and crush my soul with your words? See? Cease being my friends. See? But Jesus Christ said, I will disclose myself to you. And we're going to close now, and we'll pick it up here next Sunday morning. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that we learn about love. We learn about you and about your Son. I pray your Spirit can use the things we've learned this morning to advance our own love from and toward Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.